Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, Harry Douglas in for Key today. ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. And we've been into Kyler Murray and the new contract, and we're going to get into Kyler Murray and the new contract. But right now, we have Carl Ravitch, ESPN Sunday Night Baseball MLB announcer with us, and we are talking Yankees and Mets. Carl, what's going on?
I heard there's a Kyler Murray contract out there. Is that true?
So, meantime, there wasn't a contract out for Aaron Judge. And Carl, I said right in the offseason, and everyone told me I was crazy then, but we have the tape, that Aaron Judge, if he stays healthy, could hit 60-plus home runs. And now he's on pace for 60-plus home runs. He's a legit, great five-tool player in his prime. Whenever he's been healthy, he's a top-five MVP candidate. And they had no problem going to age 37 with him. So it's not even the length of the deal. It's the average annual that they wouldn't come up on. How big a mistake did the Yankees make in that negotiation, do you think?
Maybe a really costly one, obviously. I mean, Aaron Judge has more multi-home run games in the season now than anyone has ever had, including Babe Ruth and Mickey Mantle. The next time he hits two in a game, he'll set a Yankee record. He's on all the lists with Ruth and Maris and Judge, and he's in that class. It's going to be an expensive one. There's two ways to look at this, guys. A, they have the money, no matter what it is for average annual, no matter what it is for length. I've had a very prominent agent tell me that anytime a team has a player like this, the biggest issue that owners have is average annual value. You know, the next guy that makes $50 million, the next guy that makes $60 million, is you've raised the bar, and that becomes, the level that they need to go over with the next guy. And there's always going to be a next guy, which is why we saw that Soto deal. Look, it's going to be expensive. It's very interesting where Juan Soto is on the market. This is very Freddie Freeman-like with Matt Olson. You tell me, as a Yankee fan, are you more interested in Aaron Judge or Juan Soto if you could have one or the other? And that's the conundrum that players face. There's always another one around the corner.
You know what, Carl?
There's so many.
Carl, I want to answer that question. Juan Soto, everyone's talking about he's left-handed and he's 23 and they compare him to Ted Williams. But the other guys compared to Ted Williams in my lifetime were Albert Pujols and before him Frank Thomas, whose second half of their careers, because they were guys who played on the corners, not in the middle of the field. They were less athletic in certain ways. The second half of their careers were a shadow, even when they were good, of their first half, right? So when people talk about Soto and what a star he is, I know maybe he is a better hitter than Judge. You could argue this and that. But Aaron Judge, you just mentioned it earlier. There have been, until Mark McGwire got on the juice, Babe Ruth and Mickey Mantle were the two where the sound was different off the bat, where they represented the home run. They hit more of them. They hit them farther than anyone else. Aaron Judge is in that category. He is the symbol of the home run. He's larger than life. He's Paul Bunyan. He hits them more. He hits them farther like Ruth and Mantle. He's also farm product who carries himself the right way like Gehrig and Jeter and Mattingly and Munson, right? Like, he's the best of all these Yankees traditions. And in the history of that franchise, they've never let a guy like that walk out. They get Babe Ruth. They get Reggie Jackson. They don't let him walk out the door. It would be a catastrophe to let him walk. That's my take.
But here's the.
I appreciate that, and you'd be a great agent for him. You did open up a lot of other boxes with what you just said. I have no issue with Aaron Judge. I'd pay him. I think he is the face of baseball. I think he's the face of the Yankees. And you're right, the Yankees have always gotten that guy. It's a different administration, even though the last name is the same with the Yankees. They don't always go after that guy. And Brian Cashman has been very prudent in the way he spends money. Big guys, as you mentioned, Pujols, Thomas, two of them, they tend to break down. Now, Aaron Judge has had a bunch of injuries, many of which are not associated with a body breaking down. I mean, there have been some hit-by-pitches. There have been some quirky injuries. I don't think Aaron Judge is injury-prone. I think he's a hell of an athlete, and we've seen him play center field. But again, you're going to argue against the analytics, which I know you're very well aware of. You are talking about somebody who's a lot younger. And look, we just threw this hypothetical out there. I don't think the Yankees are thinking in terms of, is this a Soto versus Judge thing? The Yankees are very active and interested in bringing Aaron Judge back. That's their guy. And they have other things that they can address at a trade deadline before they do someone like Juan Soto. But I think there's a size issue with Aaron that compares favorably for Juan Soto being that guy. And Soto's on a team that doesn't have the players around him right now that Aaron Judge does. It's weird. I don't want to argue against either because they're both fabulous players. But there are things I think that if you had Soto on the Yankees, while he may not be hitting the number of homers, there's a lot of other things that he does that Judge doesn't do that might balance the scales a little bit.
And I think you brought up a great point, Carl, when you talked about the Freddie Freeman and the Matt Olson situation, because a lot of people tell you, would they have liked to keep Freddie Freeman? Yes. But Matt Olson has been phenomenal as well. You talk about extra base hits and doubles and what he's been to the Atlanta Braves this year and the success that they're having right now. But I want to ask you, what would it say for the Yankees and their brand if they end up letting Aaron Judge go?
It's a very good question. I don't think that the Yankees are as concerned about the perception that they have out there. I mean, the Yankees are as valuable a sports franchise as there is in the world, and certainly maybe the most recognizable sports franchise in the world. And they're that way partly because of how they handled all of those superstars, going all the way back to Ruth and the other names we've already mentioned, and the way that they're playing the game now. The biggest issue for the Yankees, I think, perception-wise, isn't what happens if Aaron Judge leaves. It's they haven't won a World Series since 2009. That's the biggest thing that the Yankees are concerned about. And if keeping Aaron Judge will, in their opinion, put them in the best position to end that streak, then they'll keep him. If they look at it differently and think the best way for us to win a World Series is to go to plan B, which is maybe not Aaron Judge, but getting whether it's Soto or any other star and another pitcher, there's just a lot more, to me, analytics information that drives the Yankees than it does what's the perception of the NY on the cap in this country and globally. I don't think the perception changes dramatically so long as you win. If they were not to bring Aaron Judge back and they won a World Series in 2023, the perception is great. The Yankees made the right call. Aaron Judge goes to San Francisco and ends up hitting 64 home runs in a year and the Giants win a World Series and the Yankees don't, then the perception's going to suck. They made a terrible decision.
Carl Ravitch, ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, ESPN MLB announcer, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Ravi, miss our late-night college basketball
race, I know, man. I do too, bro. I hear you, J. Will. I miss those too.
It's been a while, man. I was thinking about you the other day, a while back, when I heard Juan Soto turn down that 15-year, $440 million contract with the Nationals. And I know that the year of the deal was probably like the sticky point of it. But what kind of precedent do you think that sets for Juan Soto and where he will go forward?
Well, I think it scared a hell of a lot of teams away. And I don't think the years are the difference. I think it makes the point that Juan Soto and Scott Boras believe that the sports revenues are going in a direction in which there's a lot more money. And it's on one level fair to compare him to some of the enormous average annual value contracts, the Max Scherzers of the world and the Matt Olsons of the world and, you know, Anthony Rendon and Steven Strasburg, whoever. But he will also make the point that this isn't about what's already been done. That's the floor. Now we have all these new revenues in this game and we're seeing them with different television contracts and who knows what Apple and Amazon end up doing and streaming services, et cetera, that therefore you're taking somebody who's being mentioned with the greatest names in the world as far as baseball players go. That's where we're going to start. So I think it scares a whole hell of a lot of people off. I'll be honest, I don't understand the Nationals' current thinking when you have 2+ years of Juan Soto left and we've turned down a 15-440 deal, that's it. We now need to move him. I don't get it. You were willing to offer him that, which meant you were willing to build around him, and now because you said no to that, either you got scared and you realized there's no way we're ever going to bring him back, or you really weren't serious about bringing him back in the first place. You've got 2.5 years of Juan Soto, and we just decided that we're going to trade the greatest player or one of the greatest players potentially because you said no to that? That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So I also would never give any player 15 years. I don't care if they were 6 years old. I'm not doing that.
It was 13 years, I think, but like, that's right. That's right. That's the length of the contract's nuts. I want to get back to talking to Carl Ravitch, ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, of course, here on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max. Harry Douglas in for Key today on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. I want to get back to the comparison between Judge and Soto. I think fans are interested in it. And when I look at the Yankees and actually winning, yes, left-handed power has always been a big thing. That's Soto. But their greatest, winningest eras have always occurred when their resources, Carl, as you know, as a baseball guy, were devoted up the middle. Like Ruth and Gehrig were great. They won a lot, but not as much as Barrow won with first DiMaggio and then Mantle, the catcher and the center fielder. You know, Derek Jeter and Bernie Williams and Posada. That's right. Like those up the middle. And Judge now plays a very athletic right field, and he's the best probably center fielder on the team, and the team has Aaron Hicks, who's pretty good. Mm-hmm. So, like, when I think about the winning games, Judge is actually the five-tool guy who I understand about the size and the age. It does make a difference. He might break down. But he has the game that's actually well-rounded in terms of his skills. He can be patient when he wants to. He's drawn a lot of walks in the past. He hits for power. He hits for average. He takes the ball the other way. He hits him where they ain't. He can run. He's stolen 9 bases. Hasn't been caught this year for his career. 33 steals against probably 10 or 12 caughts. He's actually the more well-rounded five-tool, up-the-middle-Z type of player than Soto. And it seems like the Yankees aren't valuing that in the contract negotiation.
No, I think they are, and I think the Yankees are intent and very driven to bring him back. Every time you have this conversation, you end up trying to poke holes in somebody who currently should be impervious to holes. There aren't any in Aaron Judge's game. That's on the field and off the field. I've had one soon-to-be Hall of Fame manager ask, why in the world are the Yankees playing Aaron Judge at center field? That's risking injury for somebody you need in the lineup every single day as a bat, and he is obviously a terrific right fielder. The left-handed power thing versus the right-handed power thing at Yankee Stadium, when you talk about somebody like Aaron Judge, that's a moot conversation. We don't need
everywhere
to have that. Aaron Judge hits it to every field. He can hit it out of any ballpark. He was frustrated last year by Camden Yards. He absolutely destroyed Camden Yards in his latest trip in there. It doesn't matter. Like, to say that we need a left-handed bat and to use Aaron Judge as the reason will never wash.
Is it an either-or, Carl? Is it like if they trade for Soto, does that mean Judge is out of here, or is it possible the Yankees could trade for Soto and keep Judge even with Stanton on the team?
Well, if the other Steinbrenner were running it, it certainly would be possible. I mean, there's no question about it. We're stockpiling superstar players. There's no doubt about that. Look, Juan Soto is just unique in his approach at the plate, and I would be a little leery if you were to make a deal for Juan Soto and he's walking a lot and you let Aaron Judge leave and you're missing the 37, 38 home runs, you know, heading into August. I think that would be home runs are the game right now. So you want to have the guy that does that better than anybody. And having done the home run derby now for a long time, we went into this particular home run derby saying there are probably 3 home run hitters in the derby. Kyle Schwarber is a home run hitter. You mentioned Aaron Judge. Kyle Schwarber, that's what he does. There are certain guys who you pay to do, in a sense, one thing better than anybody. That's hit the ball over the wall. Pete Alonso is a home run hitter. He may run into a double. He may hit the ball hard. Giancarlo Stanton is a home run hitter. And Aaron Judge is a home run hitter. Juan Soto is not a quote-unquote just home run hitter. He does a lot of things. But most good teams, and in this era, you need guys that can hit the ball over the wall. That's what we'll decide. Look at all the World Series that have been won recently. All of them have been won by the team that has hit more home runs. So you need the home run hitter, which goes back to the first point you made, Max, which is that's what Aaron Judge does. He's a pure home run hitter.
Carl, I got to ask you this. The Yankees right now, especially in American League, overall in baseball, they have the best record. But in the American League, the Astros are two games behind them. Should they be worried about the Astros, especially since the Astros this season are 5-2 against them? And when you look at postseason, recent postseason success, the Astros have it and the Yankees do not.
Well, if it were basketball and I were to ask Jay Will about somebody who was guarding him and he was the best player in college, would he be worried about that? No, because it's a one-on-one game. You know, you need to drive by a guy. You need to pull up and take a three. You know you can do that because one-on-one, you're better than anybody that's trying to guard you. You're the Yankees. You're a team. And certainly if you look at the Astros, I don't know that worry is the right word. I don't think athletes worry too much because of the pride they have and their own abilities, et cetera. But absolutely, they recognize and respect how good the Astros are. And the Astros are damn good. I mean, the Astros parade a starter out there every night that you know is going to be competitive. There's very few teams. The Padres and maybe the Braves are the only other two teams I think they can say that. Maybe the Mets will be able to say that if Jacob DeGrom ever comes back. But there's not a lot of teams come October that basically know every night we got a really good chance because, A, the guy on the mound, and then obviously our ability to score runs and play defense. Yeah, the Astros are as well-rounded a team as there is in baseball. And, you know, they sort of play with a chip on their shoulder for a variety of reasons, most of which are self-induced, but they play with a chip on their shoulder, and they're doing it without Brantley, who's, you know, as smooth a hitter as there is in Major League Baseball. So to answer your question, yes, they should be and are very aware of how good the Astros are. Similarly, the Mets are very aware of how good the Braves are. Braves are really good. Braves didn't have Acuna last year. They won a World Series. You know, he's back. They got Michael Harris running around center field way better than Adam Duvall was last year. So those two New York teams, as we get set for a Subway Series, are well aware that in spite of a 12-game lead in the American League East, that we're not thinking about the American League East anymore. How do we prepare ourselves for a run in October? In the Mets' case, we are concerned about the Atlanta Braves and what they're doing. We see the Philadelphia Phillies trying to make a push and get that final wild card. The last couple of months of the season, for various reasons, are going to be challenging for both the New York teams, let alone the two-game series they're about to play.
Ravi, when you talk about the Braves, you make Harry dance literally here on stage. Carl Ravitch, ESPN Sunday Night Baseball host, ESPN MLB announcer, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Wednesday Night Baseball continues tomorrow night as the Mets host the Yankees for Game 2 of the Subway Series. Coverage on ESPN begins at 7. Ravi, let's talk about the Subway Series. It begins tonight at Citi Field. I have been taken on as a new Mets fan. I've been to a lot of games, spent some time with Max Scherzer, you know, spoken to Jacob DeGrom and company. Obviously, Max, big-time Yankees fan. Tell me what the outlook is for tonight and how it starts.
Well, we're not going to have an atmosphere like this in baseball anywhere else. We've never had them both be outright in first place anytime they've met. We've never had, I don't think, a Judge Alonso comp for both teams, given that they're both right now playing the same type of baseball at the same level individually. It would be fabulous if DeGrom and Scherzer could go up against, for this year, Cole and Cortez. You know that's baseball, and it doesn't always work that way. But the atmosphere, the attitude, the action, you go back to the Clemens Piazza stuff, there is no question, and geez, you could bring it down tonight to the television booths, you know, Kay and Cone, and then you got Gary and Ron and Keith. There's just a lot about these two teams that this year make you feel like they get a real good chance. And at one point, I thought it was the Astros standing in the way of a likely Subway Series. The Atlanta Braves' recent play changes that. The Dodgers, obviously, are worthy of that conversation. But it's a great test for two former Baseball Tonight analysts who are managing against each other. There is no better. When the two teams are this damn good, there's no better showdown in baseball than Yankees and Mets. And it would be impossible to figure out who's going to win. You'd always, as Max knows, you'd always go with the starting pitcher. You throw that stuff out the window. And I guess the only X factor I'd say in this series, if it's a close game, is Edwin Diaz has been the best closer in baseball. and the Yankees just lost Michael King, and there's some issues at the back end of their bullpen, which means you've got to watch inning 7, 8, and 9 real close if it's a 2 or 3 run ball game, because nothing on the Yankees side today feels like it's nearly as locked down as it was no. 2 weeks ago.
And the Mets seem to have the starting pitching matchups, especially because the Scherzer against Herman in the second game. But you know, I think we can all agree we can only hope the Yankees win, right, Jay?
No, we disagree.
I got it, Carl. It was so painful as a kid when they would lose a spring training game, you know, like a preseason game to the Mets, the Mayor's Cup. Let alone when it actually means something, when the Mets could knock them off their perch as the best record in baseball. I would hate that. So there's a lot emotionally riding on this for a Yankees and Mets fans. That is Carl Ravitch, ladies and gentlemen. ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. Carl, we did 20 minutes on baseball on national radio.
Yeah, right.
I love talking baseball. You guys know baseball. I love talking baseball with you guys. Good. And the other part of that, Mets, Yankees, Steve Cohen, in a lot of ways, is George Steinbrenner. And by the way, we talked about the Yankees and Soto. Steve Cohen said in November of 2020 when he bought the team, I figure 3 to 5 years, I want to win a World Series. Yep. You want to win a World Series and you're Steve Cohen, you at least have to talk to your front office about Juan Soto. Like, I don't care how much it's going to cost once he's here, but we probably should get in these conversations. I got the money. I'm not worried about that. So I wouldn't just rule out the Mets, Robbie, you know, categorically in a Juan Soto deal. That's Steve Cohen.
Robbie, speaking on that, the money that they paid for Francisco Lindor, they probably overspent for that deal. But, I mean, obviously you spend for Juan Soto, but is Aaron Judge off the table too? No, right?
That would be the ultimate coup, right?
That's you take the ultimate Judge. No,
he's ultimate slap in the face. I don't think you bring
to Steve Cohen a concept and he says that's off the table when it has to do with dollars, especially with baseball. I mean, how do you think he grew up feeling about the Yankees the same way you did about the Mets?
Yeah,
that's the type of guy you want running that team. So I think anything is on the table.
Especially when Hal doesn't run it as the way the buses run the Lakers or the way his father used to run the Yankees, like as a public trust that even though the business is important, your competitive nature can get the better of you and sometimes outbid where you should go. But in the long run, it can help you succeed. I don't see that from Hal Steinbrenner. You touched on that earlier. I do see it from Steve Cohen. Interesting times in New York baseball. The great Carl Ravitch, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks a lot, Ravi. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thanks very much for having me. Enjoyed it.
All right, bud.
Kyler Murray's new record contract requires independent study hours.
What?
Why didn't anyone ever offer me $160 million to do independent study as a kid? I'd have been a great student, Jay. What does this say about Kyler and his work ethic? Keyshawn, J. Will and Max. Harry Douglas in for Keyshawn Johnson on ESPN Radio.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray agrees to a 5-year extension is worth $230.5 million.
This is something that both sides have talked about and wanted to do
throughout the entire offseason.
He's a really special player. He has unique talents in terms of his ability as a runner, his ability as a passer with how developed he is this early in his career.
The Cardinals are betting on Kyler Murray and betting big.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. As you heard in the SportsCenter update, by the way, Harry Douglas in for Key today. As you heard in the SportsCenter update, Kyler Murray's new contract requires independent study hours. Kyler signed the deal. It's worth up to $230 million, about $105 million guaranteed at signing, $160 guaranteed for injury. What does this say about Kyler and his work ethic? ESPN NFL insider Dan Graziano earlier on this very program.
My first reaction was, this is a terrible precedent to set for future contracts. And we've talked about how, like, quarterbacks, you know, could insist on more guarantees than they do and help out, you know, the larger body of players going forward, and they rarely do it. But this is another step. Like, this is going to let teams put anything they want in a contract, right? Like, you're going to be able to say, well, this guy was the number one pick, and he agreed to this homework clause. Like, why shouldn't you?
Why is it even in the contract, this clause?
For most of these guys, you don't have to put a clause like this in. So what's it doing in there? And what does it say about the player and his relationship with the team? It's a fascinating thing. I saw somebody put it out there like, well, Murray already does this. That's why he agreed. No, if he already does this, then
you don't have to put it in there.
Thank you. Thank you.
So like it's weird. And it says a lot about the situation. Look, just remember Super Bowl Sunday, Mortensen's report about how the Cardinals wanted him to work harder, show more leadership. So now they've legislated it in the contract. So it wasn't nothing. And there's definitely a situation here where the team wants him to do things differently than he's done in terms of how he works and how he prepares for games.
Harry, what do you think?
I think it's ridiculous. I think it's ridiculous that you have to put stipulations like this in a contract, that you're giving somebody $230.5 million, $160 million guaranteed. He's the quarterback on your team. He's the guy who's supposed to make the engine go and make everything thrive for your offense and your team, period, and you have to put stipulations like this in a contract. It's also a disrespect to the people that played the game before him, all the people that paved the way and didn't get paid the amount of money that he's able to get paid, that scratched and clawed, went through all those two-a-days so the game could be better for young players and so they can get the money that they deserve and they want. It's a slap in those people's face as well.
It's just shocking to me. I know the talent speaks for itself. I know as an athlete, we always look at things and say, well, you only get paid as the market dictates. And per annual, he's top three highest paid players in the NFL. But that stipulation about independent study, that is not who I want to lead my team. I don't want to build in parameters that force you to want to do something I want you to do for free. Look, I sound like an ex-girlfriend or a wife, right? Like, you know, you have that conversation with your wife. And she's like, but you didn't do it. And like, I can't read. She's like, but I don't want to have to tell you. I want you to want to do it. And that's how I feel like the Arizona Cardinals should be about the leader of their franchise. You shouldn't have to stipulate how you want your leader to work.
Well, let me ask a question about that, Jay. Do you think, I understand that philosophically, the same reason if you look at someone's mechanics in a given sport, if they're not classical, if they're not technically classically the way people like to do it, you want to change it because you realize there's a reason that the skill developed that way. And if they can't do that consistently, they'll probably be inconsistent. But every now and then there are exceptions, right? And they're just getting the result. Muhammad Ali carried his left hand way too low, right? And pulled straight back. You're not supposed to do that. Worked for him. You know, you could Reggie Jackson screwed his body into the ground on every swing. He struck out, led the league in strikeouts, made the Hall of Fame, right? Like there are people who can. So in this case, I hear what you're saying on principle. What you know works is what you're saying, maturity and leadership. And what usually doesn't is a guy who you have to prod and incentivize to be. But are you saying it can't work that way? Or you just think the odds are against it?
I think it's a high probability it doesn't work.
But it can it possibly, though? Are there examples? Like, I can think of some examples where.
Such as?
Okay. Where
I got to stop you really quick, though, Max.
No, 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 no. I know. AC, I know how you feel, but I know. But I want to hear examples of people that you had to prod in order to reach the elite level to win you championships.
That were considered not really workers. Okay, there or partiers who did, like, you know. David Wells is a baseball pitcher. He was a big partier. He came to Yankee Stadium, hungover one day, and pitched a perfect game.
Okay, but
right. And by the way, it was a big game pitcher, won the World Series. Like, not there are here and there types of personalities.
But I hear that's one, and there are a lot of pitchers on the baseball team. I understand. Yeah. All right, give me some more. That's what I'm saying. The probability is extremely low. I don't want people leading my organization. When you're one of the smartest people I know, you have to really dig deep into the dark hole of your bag to find me an example on that.
Trying to think at quarterback.
I don't want to take that chance.
That's what I'm saying.
Not even a chance, Max.
If your quarterback is like this, the chances of you winning are going to be slim to none. Hence, that's why we've seen them probably go 1-5 in the last six games, and 3-9 the year before, 3-6 the year before, and not make the playoffs. You can't be like that. Listen, your talent only can take you as far as you allow it. Then it goes to the mental. It goes to your study habits. It goes to being consistent. There's this thing called being a pro. And that's why I had a lot of guys I grew up with that were better than me. But the fact that they didn't have the study habits, they didn't have the discipline, they didn't have the balance, they didn't know how to be a pro, and they thought it was just about partying and women and that whole night. That's why they didn't make it.
I'll give you another example of a guy who could have worked harder at his best, but was the best of his day. Shaq, right? Like, Kobe was asked, if Shaq had your work ethic, he'd be the greatest player who ever lived.
I don't think that's a great – Shaq – was
Shaq
like
might
one
be
the
a good example.
Wonders of the world.
Right, but wait, Shaq might be a good example because of this.
50 degrees.
Pounds, yeah. Pounds. But here's why it may be a good example. Because Kyler, on the surface, looks very different. He's tiny. Shaq was huge, right?
Yeah,
but both of them had certain, they were exceptional in certain ways physically that enabled them to get away with certain stuff.
Yeah, but different physically because Shaq was overpowering physically. He was a dominant force. And Kyler Murray is on the smaller side, which he has a history of being injury prone. He's shown you the past 3 years. So you have to adjust and compensate that lack of size.
Jay, wait, two separate things. No doubt what you're saying is true. What I'm saying is right now we're focusing on the type of personality who could maybe lead to a championship, even if you have to prod them a little bit. And Shaq, it's not like he didn't work. It's that there was that one season where he needed to get toe surgery. He delayed it, and Kobe was kind of put off by it. My point is, Shaq had certain overwhelming physical characteristics that allowed him to not have Kobe's work ethic, right? Kyler, in a very different way. Like, we've had Mike Tannenbaum on this show say, you know, if you remember how I say the death beam pointed at Earth and a series of athletic competitions, what Earth representative would you have play the Martians, right, to save the Earth? I'd take him to LeBron James. Mike T brought up, you might take him to Kyler Murray. He's that level athlete. So, like, he does have certain, in other words, I hear what you're saying, and it would behoove him, of course, to study, but he is such an exceptional athlete. Maybe he's able to get away with it.
No, he's not. Not to be successful, win a championship. You can't. I don't see it working.
I can't think of it as football.
I just don't. I don't see it working.
It's the study habits. And look, I like the Cardinals. I was the one hyping up the Cardinals last year. It's not just the work habit, but it's also the leadership stuff. It goes deeper than just work habits, Max. And that's the point that really makes you concerned. That's why I off the top said I think this is an embarrassment for the Cardinals that this has leaked out, because all these things that former players have been saying about your leader. And then there's a stipulation that only mandates 4 hours of study time. And then Dan even brought up another point that was probably negotiated down.
Okay, well, I'll have another example, okay? Because I'm trying to think of quarterbacks. You guys are right. It's really tough at the quarterback position. Like, one of the reasons I wanted Johnny Manziel to be good is I just want to see a counterexample, right, of a guy who doesn't do it. But Mike Vick, at his best, admits now that he was the last one in, first one out. The opposite of the way you're supposed to do it. And while they didn't win a Super Bowl, they did have a lot of success. They went to the playoffs. They won playoff games. If back then he would have been forced to be the first one in and the last one out, even though it wasn't coming from him, Do you think that could have led to greater success? Could you have won a Super Bowl that way if you had to prod Vic? Because you had a lot of success, and he never did those things.
I just don't see this happening with your leader, man. Like, if you have to do that with the guy that's leading
you. I'm playing
you,
devil's advocate.
I mean, your chances of winning are going to be slim, man. Like, you can have a tiny bit of success, but when you get to the pro sports.
There's another dude just as talented as you, and he's working.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, you get to that point where, okay, what are you doing to separate yourself from the rest? Otherwise, you're just going to stay in the pack.
All right. Jay is one step closer to officially being washed. We're going to get into that coming up. Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max, Harry Douglas in for Key ESPN Radio.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
This is what happened to me. I was driving in this morning, and I was getting here like around...
Honking at people?
Nah, I started flashing people.
Whoa!
Well, not like that.
You get better
results. Hey, yo, Jay,
I can't flash and drive it. Well, I might be able.
Jay, I think that's illegal to flash.
The hell, Jay?
Flashing my lights. Let me be more specific for you.
You ever do that as a kid in the back? Yeah. Your dad's driving the car and you'd flash someone in the car when you were a kid. Yeah.
Y'all nasty, man. Anyway, I pull up. It's around 4:45 and I'm pulling off the FDR. And I'm at the FDR and I come to a stoplight. And literally right up next to me, there pulls like a car of like, three girls, right? And they had to be coming from some kind of spot, kind of Monday night spot, right? It's 4:40 in the morning, and they could tell they're dancing. I got my music, I got my windows up, right?
They're coming back from the spot you're going to
work. I'm going to work, right? So my front windows are down slightly, and I'm just thinking to myself, I'm like, yeah, I got the music bumping. I'll say I'm happily married, right? Third kid on the way, but let's see if I still got it, right? So they look at me, and then one of the girls points, because windows down the back to the back, and I got Future on. I'm talking about, like, I'm in that kind of space.
You jamming.
Hey, I'm hard, right? Hard. I'm just reciting every lyric. And the girl points towards the back, and I was like, oh, what's she pointing? And I turn around, I forgot. I got my daughter's purple car seat in the back. And I'm like, damn. But then I was like, but I'm still that dude. I am him.
Huh.
But I am just him.
Look at me, I can commit.
Man.
I care about my children.
I commit to my family and my wife. I can do it.
See, I went from future to
washed. You went from future to past.
It was just such a real
been,
moment.
You ought to have been blasting past in your. Forget about blasting future. Blast past.
He said, "I am him. I am that dad out here with the purple ass car seat."
He goes from future to Kia's bot. Kia's bot.
See, I didn't know that she pointed to the seat.
She pointed toward.
He left that detail out the first time he told
me. It took me. Sometimes it just takes you a minute, right? You're like, what the hell is she pointing at? Right? I'm like, a purple-ass car seat. And that ain't no mother. God damn it.
I never understood the people who are so, I can't get a minivan. Like, first of all, totally convenient.
They got everything you need for a family.
Who do you think you are? Look, you're married with kids. That's who you are now. That's not a bad thing to be.
It just felt like Office Space. Remember Office Space where dudes listen to music and he puts up the window?
Well, no, that was different.
Yeah, I mean,
he was blasting like Scarface. Yeah. And then wait a minute. Then a black dude. No. The black dude is selling flowers. And he's so scared. He's selling flowers. He locks the door. He's selling flowers.
Yeah. Way different, but still
Max is weak right now.
Oh, because it was a classic view.
Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray agrees to a 5-year extension is worth $230.5 million.
This is something that both sides have talked about and wanted to do throughout the entire offseason.
He's a really special player. He has unique talents in terms of his ability as a runner, his ability as a passer with how developed he is this early in his career.
The Cardinals are betting on Kyler Murray and betting big.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, Harry Douglas in for Key today, Louis Riddick, ESPN NFL front office insider is with us. Lou, first of all, good morning.
Morning.
What kind of a look is this for Kyler Murray to have his new contract with an incentive in it about he's got to study minimum in this case 4 hours of film a week on his in his own time? How bad a look is this?
It's extremely bad, Max. I mean, I tried to think of all night long after I saw this. I tried to think of ways to kind of defend the decision on the part of the Cardinals and on the part of Kyler Murray to accept this kind of addendum and agree to it and have it included in your contract and try to put a positive spin on it. But really, I can't because, look, the number one way in which to get fired in the NFL as a general manager, as a team builder, is to make a mistake in the assessment of someone's football personal character, meaning they're not a hard worker, they don't really care about the game, they're not a good teammate, they don't try and invest themselves into the process of being a pro. And then, as far as their personal character, they make bad decisions off the field, blah, blah, blah. They run afoul of the law, all that kind of thing. Well, this speaks to Kyler's football character, and there's no other way around it. There just isn't. And this is still, given the fact that, look, this guy has been top 10, top 5 in many, many, many advanced metrics as far as quarterback play is concerned. Top 5. But they still feel as though there's more in him, because of the fact that they obviously do not trust the fact that he is putting in the necessary work to get himself ready to play the game at a level that they think is necessary to play the game at the very highest level. That's telling to me. That is something that, talking to contract negotiators who have been looking at contracts and negotiating contracts for the past 3 decades, they've never, ever seen this kind of thing before, ever, ever. They've never seen this kind of addendum in a contract. And then secondly, look, if you're Kyler Murray, I don't care how much money you make, whatever profession it is, professional, football, baseball, basketball, broadcasting, whatever it is, the last thing I would want, honestly, and I know people would say, well, if you're getting your money, what do you care? But the last thing I would want is for someone to question my work ethic, to question how much I'm invested in my profession. By the very definition of being a professional, it kind of comes with the responsibility of being someone who cares about what you're doing, who is putting in the work. And for Kyler to have this kind of thing come out about him, where there's already been plenty of talk about this before anyway, okay, this isn't some kind of revelation that people have questioned Kyler's commitment to the game, Kyler's body language in the course of a game, Kyler's ability to be a leader, to be able to deliver in crunch time in the last quarter of the season when the team needed the book. These are all been questions that have dogged him since he came into the NFL. But for now, for it to be a public thing like this, so we're now up on the screen on TV, you're seeing this addendum to your contract that you agreed to, that you don't even that now they are making it a part of your contract that you have to study 4 hours a week outside of the facility. 4 hours a week, you should be able to knock that out in a day, maybe 2 days, but 4 hours a week, and they have to put it in writing, and they could actually go after your contract, and you could default on your contract if you don't do it. That's embarrassing, man. That's embarrassing for him. That's embarrassing that the Cardinals now have to, they're going to have to answer questions about that all the time. And when the season starts, if they wind up playing a bad game
Anytime Kyler misses a pass, anytime Kyler is looking at one of his wide receivers and they seem like they're not on the same page, this stuff is going to come up, man. And it's your own fault. It's your own fault. And that, I don't know if you can tell, man, but that's disappointing to me. Because this is totally preventable, and this is on you.
And Lou, I will say this. I know why it's disappointing to you, because you're a former player. You're a former front office person. But for former players and people who scratched and clawed to make this game easier for the next generation and for those guys to be able to get their money, and for things like this to be in a contract and open up Pandora's box moving forward for other athletes is disheartening. It's sad. And on the 4 hours thing, Lou, from the quarterback position, after you watched that game on Monday that you played on Sunday, that night you're watching film. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you're watching film. 4 hours is nothing. Nothing, Lou.
It's mind-boggling to me, Harry. It's mind-boggling. And the thing is, the contract language stipulated that you can't be talking to someone else, watching TV, playing video games. So where the hell are they getting that information from? How do they know that that's the kind of thing he's doing? Like, in order, you know, obviously they have some kind of information that says that these are the kind of things you're doing instead of paying attention to the tape that's on your iPad. Otherwise, why would they put it in there? That specifically. I mean, it's like, what the hell, Kyler? I mean, come on, man. And I've been a defender of him, a supporter of him, someone who thought he should be in the top 10 of these quarterback rankings that are coming out every week. Because statistically, he deserves it. But how much better could he be, man, if he'd only applied himself, obviously, in a way that the Cardinals don't think he is? That just blows my freaking mind, man.
You know,
my mind.
Lou, so given that, Lou, would you not have signed him?
Well, here's the catch. They had no choice. What's their next best alternative, right? That's what you're always asking yourself as a team builder. Well, what's my next best alternative if I'm going to draw a line in the sand here? They drafted him number one overall. They paired him up with the quarterback, with the head coach, who they thought he was a perfect match for his system. That this was just a match made in heaven. Remember, they drafted first-round quarterbacks in back-to-back years. So this was a very unique, a very targeted acquisition on their part. General managers do not like admitting that they made mistakes, man. They just don't. So you can do everything in your power to try and make it right.
Maybe the system requires no studying. Maybe that's why he was a perfect match. Maybe. This is a system that you can't study or you'll mess it up. The great Louis Riddick, ladies and gentlemen. Jay, please stop talking for 5 seconds so we can talk to you.
I didn't even get a chance to ask my guy.
I'm sorry. I jumped in and asked Jay's question.
I've seen your text.
That is the great Louis Riddick, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Lou.
Yeah, man. All right.
So, Jay, please stop monopolizing the microphone for 5 seconds.
Okay.
I asked Jay's question. He's very upset, Harry. Very upset. I'm not upset. He shot me a dirty look.
I just tried to give you
eye contact. He pounded his hand.
Eye contact is important.
He wants to fight.
Leadership, eye contact.
What should Boston be willing to include in a deal for Kevin Durant? See if Jay lets anyone else talk. Coming up, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.